We come tonight to the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I'll read only the first verse. Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The kingdom is coming. It's strange to me and interesting to see how Jesus develops understanding as he teaches. So many things seem to almost totally contradict each other. The last several weeks, if you've been here, you've seen how Mark has led us along. Mark 8:29, Peter identifies Jesus as the Christ. Mark 8:31, Jesus begins to teach about his coming, suffering, rejection, and death. A totally different picture from that the disciples held about the role that the coming Messiah was to play. Peter said, "You're the Christ." And then Jesus started talking about suffering and death. Verses 8:32 and 33, Peter rebukes Jesus. Says, "This ain't me, you know, you can't have this." And Jesus in turn rebukes Peter and calls him Satan. From 8:29 to 8:33, you've gone from "you're the Christ" to "you're Satan." 8:34 and following, Jesus talks of the necessity of anyone who follows him having to take their own cross. That the way to really find life was to lose life for his sake in the Gospels. In 8:38, as we saw last Sunday night, he says, "If we're ashamed of him in this life, then he will be ashamed of us when he comes in his glory." We have moved from "you are the Christ" to suffering, rejection, death, cross-bearing, and losing life to find it in only 10 verses. Now Jesus makes the astounding statement, "Some of you standing here will not taste death till you see the kingdom of God present with power." In the space of 10 verses, you move from rejection and suffering and death, and yes, the promise of the resurrection, to "some of you will see the kingdom of God coming or present with power before you die." What do we make of this? Can you understand why the disciples got confused? Did Jesus know what he was talking about? Or did he make a mistake? Were there truly people there who lived to see the kingdom of God come with power? Well, if you take this to mean some will not die until they see Jesus return in power and glory, then it's not true. But Jesus was not speaking here of his second coming. Rather, he was speaking of evidences of the coming of the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. It's not quite that way, but if in the middle of the winter the ground is frozen like a stone, all the trees were bare of leaves and the fields were brown and dead, and I would say to you, you'll see spring coming in power in less than 3 months, you would believe me. Can't see any evidence of it, really, but you'd believe me because you know it's going to happen. You'd know that in a short period of time, you'd see signs of the coming of spring. We already have at our house. You have at yours, I suspect. About 2 weeks ago, Wendell said, "Look there," and looked out the window, and the little crocuses were blooming. And at the end of our house is almost a solid yellow bank where the jonquils are blooming. And I looked at the old snowball bush, and the buds are beginning to swell and getting ready to put forth leaves. It's not spring yet, but the evidence of the coming of spring is there. No one would dispute you if you were say that spring is going to be here in 3 months. The evidence is there. Now, Jesus said the kingdom is coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. What evidence do we have of its coming? Well, while he lived among us, he healed the sick, cleansed the leper, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, set loose the tongue of the mute. At his touch, the lame walked. Useless hands were restored to use. At his word, the dead were raised to new life. And yes, at his word, those dead in trespasses and sin found their sins forgiven and were the possessors of new life. Luke's gospel, Jesus said, if I by the finger of God have cast out demons, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. In all his works, as he taught and prayed and fed the multitudes and cast out demons, one sees evidence of the coming of the kingdom. Not yet, but it's coming. And then we come to his crucifixion. Best evidence I can find, the best I can study the scriptures. When Jesus came to die, there was only one person on the face of the earth that believed his kingdom was coming. Peter didn't believe it. Peter had cursed and sworn. He didn't even know this Jesus. The other disciples didn't believe it. They'd forsaken him and fled. And John, somewhat cowardly, had made his way back to the cross, but was standing there with no hope. The multitudes that had thought he might be the coming Messiah, that had hoped he was the one that would restore the kingdom to Israel, as he died, all of their hope died. Only one person believed that he would come in his kingdom. And that one person was the one dying beside him on the cross. Mark tells us that along with the priest and the Pharisees, the thieves that one on each side of Jesus that died with him reviled him as they hung there dying. But something happened. We don't know the whole story. Luke's the only one that tells us. Something happened. Maybe as Jesus prayed for those who placed him there, something happened to one of the men dying with him, and he ceased to revile Jesus, and he turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Can you imagine? Where did that kind of faith come from? Nobody else believed it. But this man dying with him saw something that convinced him that it was real. And he asked to be remembered when he came into his kingdom. And so on the third day, he comes forth from the grave to new life. And the kingdom is seen in power. On the day of his ascension, those present that saw him ascend into the heavens saw evidence of his kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, thousands were present there. 3,000 were converted, and the kingdom's coming is realized, and the coming with power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is coming. Surely it seemed to the multitudes that when Jesus died, and he talked, any talk of a kingdom by and for him was foolishness. Soon his followers would be forgotten and he with them. There was no possible future for this movement started by Jesus. In short time, it would be wiped out completely and eliminated from the world. This surely was the general consensus. It's done. It's over. And yet, As William Barclay said, in a little more than 30 years, just a little over 30 years, Christianity had swept through Asia Minor. Antioch had become a great Christian church. It had penetrated Egypt. The Christians were strong in Alexandria. It had crossed the sea and had come to Rome and swept through Greece. Christianity had spread like an unstoppable tide throughout the world. It was literally and astonishingly true that in the lifetime of many there, against all expectation, Christianity and the kingdom had come with power. Not fully, not completely, but come with power. What about us? What about us now, tonight? Do we still see evidence of the kingdom's coming? Or the trees budding? Or the signs that the kingdom is coming? As I look at the ministry and evidences I've seen across the years, I marvel at signs of the coming of the kingdom. As I've seen life transformed, hope born, new beginnings. As I think of the ministry of this place, of this congregation, of this church, I see evidence of the kingdom's coming. I've seen individual lives being changed here. Some of them radically changed as people turn to follow Jesus. And the kingdom's coming. I see some marriages being saved and homes strengthened as couples decide to truly follow Jesus, put Him first in their lives. Through the ministry of this church, many, not everyone, but many of the hungry of our area are being fed. Some are being housed. Some are being clothed. Some are having ramps built into their homes where they can get in and out in a wheelchair. Some, I hope all, through Upward Basketball and Upward Soccer and all the ministers of the church, are being told the good news of the gospel. And the kingdom is coming. Our youth, among going ministries, as they go to various places and minister, either singing or working at the downtown rescue mission or providing us love and concern. Or, did I hear it right this morning? 35 people now planning to go to Mexico this summer to build houses for people who have no place to live. The kingdom is coming. We see signs of it. With our gifts, we reach out directly to people in South America and Africa and in this country. And through World Service, we reach out to many other countries and people around the world hear the gospel, receive food, receive medical attention, receive hope, receive life. Kingdom is coming. It hasn't arrived completely. However, it is coming. We see evidence everywhere we look for its approach. The kingdom is coming. I'll tell you the story. God's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of His knowledge and glory as waters that cover the sea. The kingdom is coming. When you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything you need for life will be added to you as well. Amen. Lord God, we thank You for the evidences of Your kingdom's coming. It hasn't arrived as it should have, as we think, but we see evidences of it every day. People showing forth Your love. people ministering in your name, people touching lives and loving one another as you've loved us. Oh God, we thank you for every evidence, every sign of your kingdom's coming. And help us to seek your kingdom and remain faithful in your service. And we pray in Jesus' name.